the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio. This is the Ramsey Show. We're here to help you, America, win in your life, specifically your money, and then we look at your work and relationships as they tie into that all-important issue of money. We're here to help. The phone number is 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. And with me this hour is my colleague, none other than the incomparable, delightful Rachel Cruz.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought
so
I'd add a
adjectives.
Little extra.
Thank you.
I gave you two.
Feels great.
Instead of colleague.
I was counting. I
thought,
this?
Well, I'll give you two there to get us started today.
So appreciate that.
Good to see
it's
you.
It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're here for you guys. Let's start it off with Lauren, who waits in Richmond, Virginia. Stacy and I lived in Richmond for a while when I worked for the governor of Virginia. Point out these useless facts.
You always do with every city.
I think it's the old man in me. It's unfortunate.
There's a lot.
I'll try not
to
do it today.
Nope. Every call. I'm going to expect it.
Every call, we'll do a city reference. Lauren is up. Lauren, how can we help?
Hey, guys. Fun to know that you used to live in Richmond.
Yes, thank you.
So my boyfriend and I are currently planning out a potential future together. So we've been going through FPU, and during that process, and actually before that process, he shared that in a previous relationship, he co-signed on a student loan with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So looking at that, we're trying to figure out, do we pay that off? Is there any way to, like, what do we do with that? Because she never finished the degree, and so it's not likely that she's going to pay it off anytime soon. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard this one, Rachel. How long ago was the relationship?
It ended probably 2 years ago, and it was 3 years long.
Oh, boy.
Man.
Yikes.
Well, is the girlfriend,
ex.
Oh, gosh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry, Lauren.
It's okay.
Ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Is she behind on payments? Is she, like,
no.
Where is she? Is she, she's paying the minimum payments, but it's just going to take forever.
Right now it's in forbearance. So before she was paying the minimum payments.
Yes.
Right
okay.
Now it's on, like, hold and all that.
Right. But do you know if she's planning on at all being aggressive towards this debt?
No idea. There's no contact.
Did the relationship end peacefully?
You know, it wasn't tumultuous. It just kind of stopped. So
I just wonder, is she going to try to stick it to him because he co-signed for it?
Yeah, because the only reason as a co-signer are you kind of screwed is if they stop
right
payments and all of that. But if she continues to pay and it's just, I mean, it would suck that she, you know, if she's has it for the next 7 years, he'll be kind of watching his back being like, oh gosh, she's not going to pay. Is she going to pay? But if, you know, your boyfriend is only on the hook when or if something goes awry. Do you know what I mean? Then he would be.
How much is it?
$20,000. And what we're looking at is, okay, so let's say we get married, we move together, all that. A year from now, we go to buy a house. And we've paid off everything but that student loan. Is that, like, negatively affect our credit score? Like, should we just pay it off to get rid of it? Like, what does that
all of it? Well, most of it is in her name. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I would want to know what she, that's the thing that sucks about co-signing is I'm like, your future is tied to this other person, right? Until it's paid off. And student loans, I mean, they're not bankruptible. I mean, like, this is a thing that's going to have to happen. So, man, I would hate for him to be the one. She could look, if you guys had contact with her, to refinance. Sometimes when you refinance, you can get, you know, get a cosigner off of the loan. Student loans, are they federal or private?
Federal,
okay. I would look into that, Lauren, and see, and it would be worth a conversation to reaching back out to her, even though it's probably it's very awkward. But to see if she would consider refinancing to get his name off of it because of his plans moving forward. But if not, I would hate for you guys to be the ones to go and pay something that's not yours. And if she's not late on them, right? Like, it's not going to penalize him necessarily. But if she is late and she doesn't pay them, then that's the stupid tax that you pay as a cosigner, unfortunately.
And I also hate to take us where we got to go here, Lauren, but you said we multiple times. Do we need to pay this off? And there's no we. Unfortunately, this is he.
I know there's not.
Okay, so
not yet.
We're very close
to like engagement, marriage.
Very exciting.
Within 6 months.
Okay,
yeah.
Very exciting. But until then, nothing. Until then, yeah. This is his problem.
Yes.
And I hate it for him. But I agree with Rachel. I would be reaching out with the olive branch, you know, the metaphor to say, hey. So
can I get my name off this?
Would you work with me on this?
Can we look to see if we can refi? Yeah.
You don't want to be with me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. You know, I would try to negotiate that on good faith. Say, hey, help me out. Do me a solid. I tried to help you out. That was not so smart.
That's right. But again, it would take her.
She's got to play ball.
And if she doesn't, it's like, that's it. I mean, but man, we get this call with cars, houses.
You know, this is a new trend, by the way. I haven't asked you what you think of this. The new trend is, and I'm sure you know of this, but a lot of single people that may just be friends, they're not even romantically connected, they're buying houses together
with both names, trying to get equity and all that. Oh, no.
Because they can't afford to buy a house on their own. So they're going, okay, I'm really good friends with my buddy, Bob.
Yeah.
And so Bob and Larry are going to buy a house together. And it's like, that can't end well.
No.
But this is a thing
with
that's
both
happening.
Names on the deed and the mortgage, all of it. Yeah, no.
Don't do that.
I know, because in the moment, it feels like a really smart financial move.
What if a three or four go together? They all go, well, wait a second. I can put my down payment in, you put yours in, and four of us become roommates, one house.
Yep. And then, and not just roommates, but ownership.
You're right.
Within it.
But they think, oh, it's a smart roommate play, and we all get a little bit of equity. And it's going to be great.
And then Bob goes off doing Bob's thing, and you're like,
right. Bob goes and meets Luann, and now Larry's screwed. What am I going to do, Bob?
Why are all these people 80 years old?
I think it's funnier. Because if I said Eric, it's not funny. But if I say Bob meets Luann, that's funny. But if it's Eric and Meredith, it's not funny. That's why I go with the older names. But there really is something here.
Don't do that.
We're having fun with this, but this gets really contentious.
Now, what you can do, we've heard people do this, is they go and they buy a starter townhome or condo. They get two roommates, not on the mortgage, not ownership.
That's the
and
play.
And they help pay the mortgage and all that, you know.
That's smart.
Sure, that's a play to
And you're
to
offering
go.
Them a discount.
But when it comes to ownership, I mean, any level of sharing, unless you're married and there's a legal binding contract there, other than that, not smart to...
not smart.
Co-sign, don't put your name on people's debt, don't go in together thinking you're going to get a better deal with equity and a house and all that, because Bob and Luann, man, they are trouble.
They're going to go do their thing, and poor Larry loses his pal. And he may lose a lot of his money. Don't do it, Bob.
Not worth it.
Larry, be pals. You know, play golf. Whatever it is you do, don't co-sign on a mortgage and all that stuff. It just never works out. There you go. And Luann is the bad girl in all of it because she won Bob's heart. How did this all go so bad? Because you didn't buy it the right way for yourself. So there it is. All right, folks, more crazy analogies, funny names, and your calls. Coming up, this is The Ramsey Show.
Guys, it's no secret that the real estate market is weird right now. So go with a mortgage company you can trust to have your back. Churchill Mortgage. Churchill is Ramsey trusted because they're stable, reliable, and focused on you. At a time when a lot of companies are being bought out or going out of business, count on Churchill Mortgage to stick around. They've been doing things the right way for over 30 years, and they'll keep doing them the right way for 30 more. Get started at churchillmortgage.com.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591 and MLS consumeraccess.org. Equal housing lender. 1749 Mallory Lane, Suite 100. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
Welcome back, America. Thrilled to have you here on The Ramsey Show as we take your questions about your money and your work and relationships. We want to help you break through and get where you want to go financially. And many times that has a work component to it. In fact, Rachel Cruz, who's my co-host this hour, Dave has said for decades, your greatest wealth building tool is in fact your income.
Yes.
And we believe that. He's right about that. And we live in a world right now, an economy where if you need to make more money to get through the baby steps, whatever baby step you're on, or you're just not really happy where you are and you want to do that thing, it's never been better. Unemployment is low.
The gig economy's roaring. And I want people
to
understand
economy?
The gig economy. You've never heard that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I get to teach you a term. So the gig economy is, I have a full-time job or,
a side gig. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hear you.
And so it's like, so because it's so easy now, the
I was like gigabyte.
No.
Side gig.
Uber Eats.
Yeah,
or
for
like,
sure. The side hustle. Yeah.
They just call it the gig economy. Everybody's got a phrase, right?
That's good.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Now I feel like I'm in the inn.
So as you know, I'm deeply passionate about helping people make more money.
Yeah.
And actually enjoy doing it so they can get through these baby steps that we talk about. And so I'm going out on the road, Rachel. No backup singers. We all travel together for building wealth. We do smart covers.
It's the Ken Coleman.
It is the Ken Coleman show.
The night to shine.
It's going to be fun. And so this is for anybody, Rachel, who feels stuck. It could be a variety of reasons. Toxic workplace. I feel like I've hit my lid. There's not much growth opportunity there where I am. I want to launch a side business. I don't know what the idea is, or I know what it is. I don't know how. And I'm going to teach on a formula that'll always give you a breakthrough when you're dealing with some fear and doubt and uncertainty. And so I'll be speaking on that formula and then doing the thing that I love most is getting out in the crowd.
Which you're so good at.
Thank you.
You really are. That you and Deloney,
we do our little thing.
Yes.
Fun.
And George and I do it when we're on the road together and you guys do it. And just the energy and the engagement, that's what's fun about these kind of events. And I'm glad you're putting this in it because, you know, it's one thing to sit in a seat and to watch something and take it all in, which is what we usually do at Ramsey events because we want to, you know, give you instruction and inspiration, all of it. But when you can add that element of being with the people when you're just down there, I'm like, there's a level of energy to that type of event that is so great. And the content that comes out of it.
It's real.
In the moment.
Yeah.
These real life stories, real life people talking about what's going on. And so, yeah, you're a master at kind of pulling that out and engaging in that way. So these events are going to be so fun.
They're going to be a lot of fun, and it could be a great gift for somebody. We have multiple opportunities. We have a VIP opportunity to spend time before the event going even deeper. We're going to take questions live from the crowd. It's great energy. Here are the dates. April 20, coming up in Kansas City, Chicago, Illinois, May 16, Atlanta, Georgia, May 18, Dallas, Texas, May 23. You can get your tickets right now at RamseySolutions.com/events, RamseySolutions.com/events. I would love to see you there. High five you, hug you. We're going to have a big time. All right, to the phones we go, 888-825-5225, Sterling. I wish my name was Sterling.
So, and he's from Charleston. He's got
doesn't that sound
two
right?
Great from Charleston. It's perfect.
Sterling from Charleston. I'm a little jealous of your name, sir. Sterling, how can we help?
Hey, buddy, I really appreciate that. I'm jealous of how smart you guys are, actually.
Well, I'm about to expose that is unplaced jealousy here, but we are going to try to help you. What's going on today?
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, I've been listening and doing the Dave Ramsey thing for the last 5 years. I'm basically debt-free now because of y'all, and I want to just thank you very much for all that. I really, truly do.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm a huge fan, and but I was looking at this solar thing. I looked at the last episode where Dave had a question on there, and I'm just kind of curious because the way I look at it is a little bit different. You know, I like to say I'm debt free, but the way I look at it is my utility bill is a debt, and it's a lifetime debt. And if I go and put solar panels on my home, I'm going to eliminate that, and when my panels are paid off, I'm not going to have a utility bill or a solar payment. And that's when I actually own my own electricity. I am my own electric company. I'm not depending on the local utility that has ever-changing, increasing rate.
Okay. Sterling, I'm interrupting only because you have proven to us all that you did a really good job listening to their sales pitch. I feel like you've read the brochure 7 or 8 times. You nailed it.
Yeah.
You laid it out exactly
and
the way we see it.
If the world goes down, Sterling's going to have electricity. And
we're
none
all
of us
coming
will.
To Charleston to have a grill out at Sterling's house. It's burgers
right.
and dogs.
Well,
no, Sterling, listen. All right, let me ask you some questions.
I have gas appliances, so I'll still be able to cook those for y'all.
Thank you.
But Sterling, I want to ask you some questions. How much is it going to cost you? Because you're going to have to finance it
after the tax credits. Okay, it's going to cost me roughly about $10,000.
$10,000 total for your solar panels.
After the tax credits, after the 55% back, because we get a 25% state tax credit, and we also get a 30% federal.
Okay, but how is that applied? Because, again, you are nailing the talking points. How is that applied? What's your upfront cost? It's more than
$10,000. No, okay, so it's $20,000. We'll call it $20,000.
I know. I've been down this road before, Sterling. I get it. $20,000.
So it's 20 grand, yep.
All right.
Yep.
And so how long is that going to take you to pay off?
Well, it all depends on the loan. So let's say it's set up on a 10-year loan. I'm going to put it on 10 years.
Sure.
And the loan payment is going to be less than, it's about $12 less than what my utility bill payment is a month. And it never goes up. It's a fixed rate, really good.
I know. So you're paying, you're gonna borrow money to save money down the line on your utility bill, and I don't buy it. I don't believe that your utility bill goes to zero. So you've bought that bill of goods too. That's not absolutely true. I don't think that's true. I would challenge you to research that a little bit more. And the sales guy's the guy.
Let's say it doesn't go to zero. Let's say it doesn't go to zero. Let's just say it's very minimal. Let's say it goes from $200 a month to $30 a month.
All right.
They do that.
I get it, brother. So run the math on that. All right. So we've saved how much money on that example? 170, right?
Yeah, 170 bucks a month, yep.
Per month times 12. I don't have a calculator. Hold on. Let me get out there.
Well, we'll call it 1,400 a year.
Yeah, right. So 1,400 a year, but you paid 10,000 in loans plus interest. Here's the deal. If you want it so bad, save up the 10,000 and pay cash.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Okay, so
don't borrow the money.
Solar's not a bad thing. Okay, don't borrow.
Solar's not bad. I love the sun. I need a little more sun. Look at me. I'm pasty. I could use a little more vitamin D, Sterling. But
please come to Charleston. It's 85 today at Perth.
Oh.
Very jealous.
Wish we were there. Yeah, Sterling, we're never going to encourage anyone or suggest to anyone to go into any kind of debt.
Even if it's for the sun.
Even for the sun.
Period.
A mortgage is the one type we won't yell at you for, but we have our formula that we kind of run it through. But other than that, we're not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, you should go take out a loan for 10 years for solar panels. Because everything I have read, and again, I'm not deep into this. I'm not a solar panel expert.
Really?
Shocked. I know everyone's shocked. Even though I drive a Tesla, I'm not into the solar panels.
This is Mrs. Electric right
But most of what I have read, Sterling, when it comes to renovations on homes and getting the value of your home up, solar panels, it's a negative. Like it does not increase value for your home. I know you're not looking for the value of your home. You're looking for your utility bill. So my thing would be, if you want to save
up. Because the rates are going up so much. It's crazy what they've done in the last, even in the last 12 months. I mean, I've gone from 12 cents.
But Sterling, you got to do
17 cents.
Right, but you got to do more research than the company brochure that they've
and
they've
to make sure.
No, I have.
Pay cash.
So listen. Do your solar panels. I think it's great if you want to do that, but just pay cash. Don't take out a loan.
Right.
Go into debt. Acquire risk for the fact to have these solar panels. So that's going to be true for anything, including the sun.
What do you call those things that we see on TV and cartoons where a person's trying to get sun? It's like a silver.
The reflector thing?
Is that a reflector?
Yeah.
That's not a solar panel, though. That's a solar panel for your face.
That's not a solar panel.
I know. I kid. You know, listen, you got to be careful about all these things.
There's a lot of nuances.
Yeah. Do your homework. I don't know. I like paying for my electricity. It's not debt. It means I'm cool and warm.
If current times have shown us anything, it's that the least expected events can and will happen, and we have to deal with it. That's why everyone who has a family counting on them needs term life insurance. For over 25 years, the only insurance company I've recommended is Zander Insurance. Not only because they search all of the top term life plans to find you the best rates, but over the years, they have constantly changed and updated their systems to make the whole process simpler and easier to get the protection needed. You can now apply with a completely touchless experience, with everything being done either over the phone or the internet. They also have plans with super competitive rates that don't require an exam, allowing you to skip a step and get the coverage you need faster. Go to Zander.com or call 800-356-4282. Great rates and a simple process mean there's no excuse to not get this done, people.
Welcome back, America. You've joined the conversation about your money, your work, and your relationships here on The Ramsey Show. I'm Ken Coleman. I'm joined by my colleague, Rachel Cruz. We're here for you this hour. The phone number is 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Back to the phones we go. Dallas, Texas is where Don awaits. Don, how can we help?
Hi, Ken. Hi, Rachel. Good afternoon to you.
Good to talk to you. What's going on?
Well, here's the deal. I'm 51. My wife's about to turn 50. I work for the state. I'm a criminal fraud investigator. My wife, through the Lord of great heaven above, she got a better job, and we're going to be making a lot more money, which, you know, God grace us. So the issue is she switched jobs. Now she has a $14,000 into her 401k. And the issue is that she wants to move it and not leave it there because it's kind of dead and kind of losing money. Now, the other issue is that we want to, with this increasing, and in about the next 2 to 3 months, we're going to be totally debt-free except for the house, okay? So no debt except the mortgage, which we're going to, you know, still pay off a little early at the time and all that, but we want to start investing more to our age. Now, so my wife is an immigrant. Someone from the church, he's one of those guys, me doing what I do for a living, I don't trust him. He starts seeing how IULs are the best thing in the world, and then annuities and all this stuff, and for the new investments. And he gave the greatest spiel until I said, here's the thing, me and my wife trust the Dave Ramsey people like you, okay? We trust you. The thing is, he's saying, take this money, you'll be millionaires, and all this money from an IUL, or take that $14,000 from the 401k, you can move it into annuities and all this stuff. My two questions is, she doesn't want to roll over to her new job on the 401k, that $14,000. She wants to put in something else, maybe some kind of other savings like mutual funds, what have you. She's not a fan of stocks, you know. So my thing is, we're going to invest more. One, where should we move that $14,000? Secondly, if we're going to invest more, should it be more in the 401k? And also, should it be mutual funds or something for our age where we want to get that growth?
Yes. Okay. Great question. So one thing she needs to understand, though, mutual funds are stocks. They're 90 to 200 stocks put into a fund. So when you are investing in your 401k, your Roth IRA, you know, any types of those investments, those are just kind of the coverings under. They use that money and use that to invest within mutual funds, which we are a fan of. We are not a fan of single stocks. So I understand her risk if she's like, oh, I don't want to go put all my money in the stocks, in a stock, right? Because that feels... that feels scary. But with a mutual fund, you're diversifying your risk. You're within 90 to 200 stocks. So if I were her, I would roll over that $14,000 from her last job. You can even roll it over just to a traditional IRA. But if I were you guys at your age, Don, I would pay off your debt, like you said, you're going to do in the next 2 to 3 months. And then I would be maximizing all of the retirement that I could. And so that is Roth IRAs. That is 401ks. If you guys even want to look into like your HSA, health savings account, there can be a point even with that. If you stop withdrawing for medical and you can use that as a retirement vehicle, all of that. So annuities, the only reason that we would suggest ever even considering it is if everything is maxed out, if your house is paid off, you are done with everything, a veritable annuity is one that we would say you could do, but we're just not a big fan of it. They don't keep up with inflation. There's tons of fees. They're really confusing. They're hard to transfer. It's kind of a mess. So no, annuities is not something that we are like big fans of. Again, there's fixed annuities, why can't I say that word?
It's tough. Veritable. It's a tough word.
Annuities.
Veritable. It's tough.
But all that to say, that would be the only reason, Don, that we would ever even consider that. So no, this guy is in the insurance world. I know what he's pitching.
It sounds effective.
And so no, I would not be scared of what's going on. The market, yes, did not do great last year, but the market goes up and down all the time. And you guys are in your 50s. You still have another decade to ride all this out. So if I were you guys, I would be flooding all of my retirement up to 15% of my income into retirement, 401ks, Roth IRAs, traditional IRA if she rolls over from her job, and then be working to pay off the house. That would be my goal, because that's going to be the fastest way for you guys to build wealth. Because again, annuities, I mean, there's some of them don't even keep up with inflation. And so it's not, it would not be a route that I would take. It's not a route that I'm taking personally.
And Don, we want to encourage you, if you don't have a SmartVestor Pro, you know, you say, well, hey, I trust the Ramsey people. And then you have a conversation with people that can, they can debate, they think point for point, and they got a very good sales case. We want you to get with a SmartVestor Pro in your area. Go to RamseySolutions.com, interview two or three. And as Dave has said many, many times, we want to make sure that you understand why we say what we say, and you understand why you believe that to be the best thing. And I would take your wife with you. So that's the best play. They're going to follow the advice that Rachel just gave, and they're going to make sure you understand it so you're in charge. So we want you to do that. Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts now. John is there. John, how can we help?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet.
So my situation is kind of a personal one. I'm 26 right now, a decent amount of money saved up. I don't have a house yet. My only debt is my car. I owe about $11,000. I'm working a sales rep role. And so with that, I get a car allowance. Now I have enough money right now to, in order to pay off the car. I'm wondering, do I pay it off up front and then continue to pocket the car allowance, or do I just keep throwing the money from the car allowance towards the car over the course of the next year or so?
Yeah. Will they still give you that car allowance even if you don't have the payments on it? Will they reimburse
they
you
will.
For other areas? Okay. Yes. Yeah. So in that case, I wouldn't 100% would just pay it off and then you can just and pocket it, because at that point you have no risk. You don't owe anything on the car. If you switch jobs, you're not stuck in this loan that you could have had paid off and you're still paying interest, all of it. So yeah, if I were you, I would go ahead and just pay everything off and then pocket, the car allowance if they'll do that.
Okay, so basically like tomorrow would be the best bet. Just, hey, get rid of the loan, call it a day.
I would. How much do you have in savings?
I have about $40,000 in savings.
Oh, yeah. And that's your only debt.
So
why wait till tomorrow? I'm curious.
Well, I guess right now would probably be a better bet, huh?
I'm being serious on that question, because let me tell you something. Between this phone call and the time it takes for you to get with your bank and pay it off today, you might run into somebody who's got a different opinion. You might start to doubt it and think about, well, I sure would like to keep that $11,000. You know, and so we can all do this. I don't care if it's a relationship decision that we know we need to make, a financial decision, a professional decision, a physical decision. You know what? I probably should throw out all of the chips and salsa in my house if I want to lose 20 pounds. And then you go, if I don't do it right then and there, well, I can tell you I'm eating chips and salsa later that night. I mean, and so it's this idea of, if you've decided, act in this moment. Hang up the phone and start the process right now. And I'm, this is a human condition. We all do this. Once you decide, do it. Don't wait. Does it make sense?
It does, yes. I guess the only thing kind of holding me back from it, and the reason why I wanted to ask the question in the first place, was that we were trying to save up for a house, so I didn't know if it would make more sense to keep more money for a down payment or whatnot. Rather than pay off the car, since I have that car allowance coming in.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, I would be debt free, and then the remaining money that you have, you know, that $35,000, I would have an emergency fund, so I wouldn't even put that towards your down payment. I would look to see, okay, what's 3 to 6 months of expenses? Take some of that cash, put it aside, and then from there start building up your emergency or your down payments for baby step 3B. And the great thing is, John, you're having this car allowance come in. So that's like free money to put toward the down payment.
Yes.
And not a car loan, nothing going out.
Love that, Rachel.
So you can just, save that up. So that's what I would do, John, in that order.
Yeah, because here's what happens. Pay it off now. You have no debt. And we get a nice jump start in the form of a car allowance to building up that the down payment. I got to tell you, you're going to be so happy you did this. Don't wait. Hang up. Go now. Do it. Do it right now. It's so exciting. You know, it would be fun to see if we could zoom in and watch him do it. You know?
See it live.
You know, just watch somebody just pay their car off, because few people do that. But anyway, good stuff. Thank you for the call, John. We appreciate you very much. All right. We'll be right back. Don't move. More Ramsey Show coming up. Welcome back to The Ramsey Show. I'm Ken Coleman. I'm joined by my colleague, Rachel Cruz. And if you're new to the program, whether it's on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform or radio, SiriusXM, however you're engaging with the program, And you hear this jargon, you hear baby steps, you're kind of going, what's this whole thing about? Where do I fit in this deal? We've got a wonderful tool for you called Get Started, and it'll allow you to just kind of see where you are financially and how we can get you plugged in and get the resources that you need. It's the Get Started button on our website, RamseySolutions.com. RamseySolutions.com, click on Get Started, and we'll get you off and running. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia now, where Hunter is. Hunter, how can we help?
How's it going, guys?
We're having a blast. What's up?
So I'm 20 years old. I make about $72,000 a year. I'm really looking to get into a house either here soon, or I'm thinking maybe I should wait next year for the housing market to kind of come down a little bit. And I was just looking to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, you're a young guy and looking to buy a home.
I've got about $6,000 right now. I haven't really started the saving process.
Okay.
But just after paying off all my credit cards, that's kind of what I've been able to pull in within the past 2 months.
Yeah, that's a great. I think, Hunter, are you in school at all, or are you, you're just working full time?
Just working full time.
Okay.
Little mom.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Here's what I would do, Hunter. I feel like we answer these questions sometimes if I were to wake up in your shoes at 20 years old. I'm assuming you have no other debt. You said you paid off your credit cards, so no other debt.
Just a truck note.
Yep. Just a what?
Just a truck note.
Okay. How much is that?
It's about $500 a month.
Well, total, what's the loan?
$30,000.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's a nice.
What kind of truck?
Truck, Hunter.
Just an F-150.
Just an F-150. That thing would run over my car like it was a matchbox car. Those things are gigantic. And so you've got a truck note. And do you have any savings at all?
Just the $6,000.
Just the six?
Okay.
Wow.
So here's what I would do, Hunter. I would Kelly Blue Book the truck and just see.
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do. What year is it?
2015.
2015 F-150. All right. How many miles?
92.
When did you buy it?
2 months ago.
Okay. Recent purchase. So we always say if you can't pay off your car in 12 to 18 months, you have too much car. So the fact that you make 70 a year, is that what I heard?
72, yes, ma'am.
72, okay. So you have no expense. You're living with your mom, not a lot of expenses. So you could pay this off in a year. So if you loved the truck and wanted to keep it, my next step would aggressively be paying off this truck. I would work extra. I would pay this off as fast as possible. I would throw $5,000 of your $6,000 at it and get it out, because we have found, Hunter, the fastest way to build wealth from point A to point B, and wealth that you keep, not just like this lottery winner type mentality, is becoming debt free, having savings in the bank that you can get to when you need, investing, and real estate. So all of these are big components of building a really solid financial picture. So for you, that first hurdle is getting debt-free. And so this will be your truck. So you could either sell it. Did anything come up, Ken?
I'm narrowing it down. I was letting you do the advice here.
So I would either to get you on this plan faster would be to sell the truck and start saving up a fully funded emergency fund. But if you wanted to keep the truck, then it would take you, 9 months, 12 months longer in this process to pay it off. Then I would want you to get a big emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses and then start looking to buy a home. And for your first home, I would save anywhere from 5% up to 20. 20 is great. I know that's a lot in the market today, but you avoid PMI. There's a lot of great things of having that 20%. But for first-time home buyers, we would say 5%. So there's a couple of things I would do, Hunter, before I go and purchase a home.
All right, so I want to give you the numbers to plug in.
Okay,
so
what is it?
At an outstanding state, all right, it's worth $17,364. Clean, $16,800. Average, $15,900.
Why did you get a $30,000 if you bought this 2 months ago? It looks like you paid double for it.
They were hard to find. I was trying to get it. I had a brand new F-150, and I was paying about $1,000 a month for it. So I decided to stop being stupid, and I cut it in half.
That's
but I guess that's still not the smartest.
No.
Yeah. So you overpaid. And this is according to Edmunds. So I mean, you can do your homework on this, but that's what you're looking at. But if you were to do that, then how we walk people through that, Rachel, what do we
have? Yeah. So what you would do, Hunter, in this case, is you would sell it for what you could. Man, I would go back to the guy and be like, 25? Can I?
Who'd you buy it from? You don't have to say their name. We're not trying
was
to
it
out
a,
people.
Was it a dealer or was it a individual?
It's a dealership.
It was a dealership. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Man, Hunter, oh, shoot. I hate that for you. Did you look to see the value of F-150s around at that year, or you just were doing making quick decisions?
Making quick decisions, trying to get out of a bad decision.
All right. So,
and you know what, Hunter? This is great. You're 20 years old.
That's
you
right.
made a mistake.
You can get out of this.
Do you feel that? You feel that? You're like, oh, crap. I could have gotten this for $17,000, but I paid $30,000 for it. That wasn't smart. So you're learning this now, which is great. Learn it now versus learning it over and over and over again when you're 40 years old. So I would, if I were you, I would take the hit and just say, man, I'm going to go take out a small loan. And I would, you know, take out a, you know, $20,000 loan, which is going to cover because you're underwater in it. So it's going to cover the difference and leave you a couple thousand bucks. I wouldn't. You have money saved, Hunter. No, I'm so sorry.
What condition is it in? What would you say? Outstanding?
Outstanding, I would say.
All right, so let's say you could get 17 for it, all right? You've got six in the bank, all right? So if you get 17 for it, you're still going to have to get the smaller loan, like Rachel's talking about, that covers the difference. If you owe 30, so you got about 13 if you don't put any into it. If you put six into it, now you're down to $7,000. But the challenge
is, you got to have a car.
I know. That's why I'm walking through it. So you got to have a car. So I'd take the six and I'd get myself a decent SUV that's going to get me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to pay off the seven as fast as I possibly can.
That's right.
That's what I would do. And then Hunter, you build back up. So then you get yourself a $15,000 truck after you save up some money, you sell the other one, and you kind of step your way into it, you get a decent car, and now we start saving for a home. That's the process, because if you don't do that, I want you to understand why Rachel's recommending this. This truck is devaluing every time you drive it, and unless you're going to go all in and pay the $30,000 off, like really soon, it just doesn't make sense to do that. You're so underwater with this thing.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So let's take the hit.
So take the take the $13,000 loan versus the $30,000.
That's right.
You're swapping those two. And then I would take five of the six, have your baby emergency fund of $1,000, go get a $5,000 car, Civic, SUV, whatever it is. And it's not going to be a pretty car, Hunter. You're used to driving a brand new truck. Now you're used to driving a nice $30,000 truck. It's not going to feel like that, but that's okay. That's okay. Because again, your goal here is to get from point A to point B of building wealth. And the fastest way to do that is for you to use your income, a great income, Hunter. You're making $72,000 at 20 years old. It's incredible.
I found him a car.
Ah.
Okay. I went on a website and I typed in used cars under 5,000 in the Atlanta area.
What'd you get?
I see a 2002 Toyota Sequoia.
Perfect.
225,000 miles, but those things will run for 500,000 miles.
Yeah, and you only need it for like seven more months.
$49.95.
You only need it for like 7 months because you're going to be saving on the side too, Hunter, and you're going to sell the Sequoia for $5,000 again because it's probably not going to go down in value. And then you're going to match it with another $5,000 that you save from your income, and then you're going to step up to a $10,000 car, and you're going to slowly keep doing that until you're to the point that you're like, I have some cash to spend. So it is possible. It's possible to do this, and that's what we would do, Hunter. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right, Hunter.
Great job. Thanks
is.
For calling in.
And that's the first vehicle I found. I mean, if you want the gas savings, how about a Camry for $3,800?
There you go.
Come
Those
on.
Those things will run.
You can do this all day
But your
long.
Pride is going to hurt, Hunter.
I know.
Don't let your pride get in the way.
Yeah.
That's 20. You're
that
doing
Camry,
great.
That Camry's not pretty.
But it's fine. You're only going to have it for 6 months.
There it is. So it can be done. Rachel Cruz, fun hour. Thanks for hanging out. Always fun to be with you. I want to thank James Childs and our fearless crew behind the glass for keeping us on the air. And we want to thank you, America. This is your show. This is The Ramsey Show. Hey, it's Ken. If you love the show and want a deeper dive on your money journey, we have a weekly newsletter that gives you trending and helpful articles and tips on following the Ramsey way. Go to RamseySolutions.com today to sign up for our newsletter. Again, that's RamseySolutions.com to sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.